Hey, everybody, this is Justin Michael Williams with Motivation for Black People, giving you trusted guidance to make your life better. Now, a few weeks ago, we did a special segment for our 100th episode that invited you all to take part in this podcast and to have your voices heard and to send in your questions so that we can do our part to really rise up together and so that I can do my part to make sure that I'm answering the things that are actually important to you. And what I was not expecting when I put out that request is that the questions that came in would be so vulnerable and so raw and so real and so rooted from the heart. And I just have to say thank you to everyone who sent a question in, because this is the real deal. This is probably the most excited I've ever been to do a podcast episode, because it's speaking directly to a problem and a challenge and an emotion and a feeling that we have all experienced. Every single one of us have experienced what you're going to hear in this first question that I have from Mia in Arizona. And I want you to listen with your heart, anchor in, and then we're going to unpack the answer together. This is Mia from Arizona.
Hey, Justin, good morning. I am I'm kind of having a hard time, and I wasn't sure if I should email you or just message you here, but I just kind of wanted your take on something. I have been I've been listening to your podcast for a little over a year now. I've been meditating, I've been praying, I've been exercising, I've been doing yoga, I've been trying to eat better, I've been trying to read all these books, and I still feel like I am like still hurting, and I don't know what to do anymore. I've been working my way out of my position and my job. I've been working on releasing people from my life, and I just don't know. I can remember one day when my soul felt like truly lifted, truly elevated. And I've just been trying to get back to that moment. And I don't know how to do that. I don't know what's missing at this point. And I don't know how I can truly be a help to anyone around me if I can't even help myself. Like, I've gone to therapy. Like, I don't know. And maybe it's just a bad day, but I don't think so. So if you have any suggestions for anyone who feels like, well, really for me, because I just feel like I keep doing these things and it's not getting any easier. I don't know if it's getting better. I feel like it's getting better, but then I have moments like today and last night where I feel like I haven't made any progression, and I don't like feeling like that. I'm trying to stay mindful of the fact that I'm not in the same place that I was a year ago, but I'm still not where I want to be, and I just want to be free of like the things that are holding me back.
Did you feel that? We've all been right there. We've all been right there, and we will all be right there where Mia was again. And you might even be right there right now, which is why you clicked on this episode. And I have a few ways that I want to answer this question. But first and foremost, I just want to honor you, Mia. And honor all of us for this deep work that we're doing, because we don't have to be doing this work. And when we get into the real work, when we get into the real deep shit, the stuff that's actually really holding us back, and we get beyond the surface, then we start to feel, oh my gosh, this is hard. This is not just reading some memes on Instagram and listening to podcasts and staying inspired. That's not it. That's not the deep work. When we get into the depths, that's when we start to feel how challenging this stuff can be. And so first, I just want to honor you. I want to honor you for all the work that you are doing in this world. I want to honor you for the work that you're doing on yourself. I want to honor you for the work that you're doing for your family, because it is by doing this work, all of us together, one by one, and then coming together as a collective that we are, it's by doing this work that we really change generations, because it is proven scientifically through a concept called intergenerational trauma that if it doesn't heal, it repeats. What doesn't heal repeats. And so by us doing this work and taking it on, we're able to make a difference for our families and our future and all the generations to come. So I want to start just by honoring every single one of us who are doing this work. And I know if you're listening to this, then you are a part of that tribe. And now, you know, getting into the what to do here, especially when you're in those moments, is a little bit about, you know, how we frame this whole concept of inner work. And something that you might have noticed Mia saying was, I just want to get back to that moment where I had this one day where I was just totally happy and at peace. And I think that one of the big things that we struggle with is this idea of what we think it's going to be like when we are healed, when we're finally, quote unquote, free, right? What will that feel like? And some of us, I think, and I believed this at one point too, you know, and I remember just in the beginning stages of my journey thinking, what the fuck? Like, I've been doing all this work. Why am I still not happy? You know what I mean? Why am I still not happy? And I think the big shift comes when we recognize that having a life that feels aligned and fulfilled and full and on purpose and connected and full of passion does not mean having a life where you are always happy or having a life where you are always at peace. In fact, when I was doing a lot of research for my book that's coming out in February, I found this article, and there's tons of scientific research on this, that people who strive too hard to be happy all the time actually experience less happiness in their life than people who allow their emotions to flow. And so what they found is that emotional suppression, meaning pushing down our emotions, and I'm talking about all your emotions, your anger, your fear, your hurt, your joy, your sorrow, whatever, pushing down even the hard to feel emotions limits our ability to experience happy emotions. So if we just, even though I don't like putting them in good and bad, let's just say there's quote unquote emotions that you don't like feeling that are uncomfortable for you to feel. And we put those all in one bucket. So that's discomfort and sorrow and sadness and anger and all those things that sometimes are uncomfortable. And then we have all the emotions that we like happiness and joy and peace and love. And we put all those in one category. What the studies found is that people who suppressed the hard-to-feel emotions also had a cap on how much of the good emotions they could feel as well. And the reason for that is because we have to think about all of these things as emotions, period. Not categorizing them as good or bad and trying to feel some over the other. And you might be thinking, okay, well, why the hell would I want to feel bad emotions? How does that mean that I'm having growth? How does that mean that I am growing or changing? And here's what I want to offer to you. I want you to think about this healing and inner work like a tree. Okay, think of it like a tree. And I heard something like this when I was in a church service recently, and it's just the most fantastic example. So if you look at a tree, when we're standing out and we're looking at the tree, the only thing we see is what's above the ground, right? And we're like, oh, this tree is tall, or it's beautiful, or it has flowers, or it has fruit, or whatever that it has, that it's bearing on the external. But then when we really look deeply at a tree, we see that there are roots. And these roots must go deep down into the earth for the tree to even have the possibility to grow higher. Because the deeper the roots are, the more nutrients the tree can get, the more stability the tree gets and the higher it's able to grow because of the depth of its roots. But the roots, we can't see. And this is what inner work is like. This is what the making sure your job is in alignment and dealing with your trauma and getting rid of toxic people in your life and making sure you're aligned with your purpose and going to therapy and meditating. All this stuff is the roots. This is what you can't see. And by digging these roots deeper and deeper into the earth, we're able to grow higher. We're able to get more nutrients. We're able to fulfill our full potential because our roots have gone deep and wide. Now, going on with this metaphor of the tree, I want you to think about these roots and as they continue to grow. So no matter how long the tree has been growing, no matter how tall and beautiful this tree gets on the outside, the roots still have to keep growing for the growth on the outside to happen. And so when the tree is going deeper in its roots, even if it's been going deep for years and years, every inch further it goes, it still has to break through ground. It doesn't mean that it gets easier. Actually, as the tree gets deeper into the earth, the ground gets harder and more solid and less soft. And so the harder it has to get into these tough places to make sure that it puts its roots. And so we think that with our healing, that the longer we're going through it, then the easier that it's going to get. But that's not the way it works. As we're doing this work, it's going to always feel like we're doing work. It's gonna feel hard. It's gonna feel like challenges. And that's because we're coming up against new soil. But I love this quote by my brother, Diego Perez, Young Pueblo. And Diego, one of the quotes that he posts on Instagram, if you guys aren't following Young Pueblo on Instagram, first of all, please do. This brother is everything. And you guys know I don't say that lightly. It's at YungPueblo, Young Pueblo. And one of his quotes about growth is something that I love. And he said, "I knew I was on the right path when I started feeling peace in situations where I would normally feel tension." I want to say that again. "I knew I was on the right path when I started feeling peace in situations when I would normally feel tension." And so when we think about this concept of the roots going into the ground, right? And as these roots go in and they dig their paths, the things that it had to get through before are now easy to get through because the path has been carved. But it's the new things that it comes up against that it's difficult for it to get through. And so we know that there's growth happening when you deal with old bullshit and old family members that were kind of triggering you with the same stuff from the past, or old relationships, or an old pattern that comes up. And we have the awareness to say, I'm not going there anymore. And just having that awareness to know that you are not stepping into a pattern, or let's say this, just having the awareness that you are stepping into a pattern is growth. The awareness piece is the first step. And so I want you to know that this growth is happening within you. It is happening all around you. And the deeper you dig your roots, the higher you'll be able to grow. Now, this leads me into a really important topic, which is, what are we deeming as our marker of success? I want to point you towards leaning your marker, the thing that you use to know whether or not your growth is working, to sound something more like the quote that Diego said, that Young Pueblo said. Because when we're deeming it on external circumstances, for example, when we're just saying, oh, well, my inner work must be working because I have a better job, or I have better friends, or I have more money, then it would be like a tree deeming its life purpose or energy on how many leaves it has. And we know how silly that would be, because a tree loses its leaves every year. So if it was deeming its life force based upon the leaves, based upon these external circumstances, then it would constantly be disappointed every single winter, every time the leaves fall to the ground. And that's what happens in our lives. We lose jobs. We have disappointments. We have failure. We have things that don't work out in our favor. And just because you're doing inner work doesn't mean that your life is going to be all tiptoeing through the tulips. okay? That's what my grandma used to always say, and my mom, tiptoeing through the tulips. I don't know who came up with that. But anyways, that is not what inner work is for. Yes, it can help you live a more purposeful life, and it will. And it can help you accomplish the goals that you want, but it doesn't mean that we'll be living these lives that are just totally peaceful and at bliss all the time. And anyone in here or anyone on here who's listening who thinks that the marker for their inner work to be successful means that they should be feeling peaceful and happy all day, I want you to just scratch that out, because it ain't possible and it ain't real. What is actually showing that your inner work is effective is that when your challenging stuff comes up, when you find yourself in a pattern, when you find yourself triggered, when you find yourself almost repeating similar toxic cycles, you're able to have the awareness to see it and let it pass. And that is it. I want you to listen to the words I'm using. See it and let it pass. I'm not saying see it and push it down. Right? Because we see this stuff coming up and we have to go, oh, there you are again. There you are. And I'm just going to let you just, you're just going to go by. This storm is just going to go by. And this might mean that I feel like shit for an hour, but I'm not going to engage in it, because I know that if I engage in it, it's going to lead me down a wrong path. So I'm just going to let it go by. Now that sounds easy, right? But it's hard as fuck. It's hard to do, but we get better and better at it the more inner work that we do. So I want you to really use Young Pueblo's advice here for a marker of whether or not your inner work is working for you. And it's about how you deal with the patterns when they show up again. They're like the test to show us where we are. And I also want to teach you guys something that I'm shocked that I don't think I've ever talked about on this podcast. And it's a concept called the happiness quotient. And I learned this years ago, and it's something that is super important, especially for people who've grown up with trauma or shame or who have been oppressed or marginalized or anything like that, which I assume is probably you, you know, and everybody listening to this. And the happiness quotient, let me explain how this works. So based on the science and the studies they've done, they have found that based upon the unique recipe of how you grew up, you have a number, let's just call it a number, that is a level of happiness that you are comfortable with living in. And this recipe deals with how your family dynamics were and how happy you were as a child and what your how happy your family was as a unit. And what happens is, let me just put it like this. Let's say that based upon how you grew up and how your family interacts with each other and how much love was there and how much happiness is there, on a scale of 0 to 100, your happiness quotient is an 80. Okay, let's just say it's an 80. And so what happens is we go through our lives feeling very comfortable at 80. And if we dip too far below 80, we feel like shit. And if actually we get too high above 80, we freak out and sabotage ourselves. And the reason for this is it actually goes way back to hunter-gatherer times. Because for you to survive back in the hunter-gatherer times when they were running from lions and doing all this kind of stuff was to be as similar to your tribe as possible. So if you did anything that caused you to be an outcast back then, that meant that you would be likely to die. Because if you were outcasted from your tribe, there was no Whole Foods for you to go shop at, right? There was no Instagram for you to find, nothing. If you were outcasted from your tribe, you were dead. You were done. And especially if you were the one who was different in the tribe and you're getting chased by something, who's going to be spotted first? You. So part of our evolutionary DNA is to program ourselves as young children to be similar to our tribe, similar to our family and how we grew up. And unfortunately for many of us, it's, you know, it's not a great circumstance in some points. And so what happens is we grow up with this happiness quotient. And let's just say yours is at an 80. And so what happens is, let's say you're feeling real good and then you get into this relationship and then your life is going so well and now your happiness quotient is like up at like an 85 and then it goes to a 90 and then you start losing all your friends because you're different than them. And you start feeling like things are different with your family, start doing whatever, and then you end up sabotaging something and either getting sick or breaking a bone or having some drama at work or getting fired or something that brings your happiness quotient back down to what it's used to. I like to think about it like a thermostat. It's like, let's say the thermostat, the temperature is set so that when the temperature hits 80 degrees, then the air conditioner is going to kick on to cool it back down because it's too hot. Happiness quotient works like that. You get above 80, boom, air conditioner kicks on. Let's figure out how to cool it back down. So that's what happens in our lives when we're working on a default mode. We all have this kind of way of being that we default back to, and that is our happiness quotient. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that it's proven that these things that we do like mindfulness and inner work and therapy and all the different things in reading and coaching and all the work that we do on ourselves internally, this is why I'm focusing so much on the internal and not the external. Those internal things that we do are proven to raise our happiness quotient. So it's proven to expand how much happiness we are actually able to experience in our lives. And this is revolutionary because we find, you'll say, like, you know, Mia was saying in her question, well, I always end up back at the same point. I always end up back at the same point. And that's because the happiness quotient, that's where we're programmed to automatically go. Now, unfortunately, what most people expect is that they go to therapy for a year or for not even a year, every once a month, you know, for a year, 12 times, and think that their happiness quotient is going to instantly quadruple. It doesn't work that way, right? And thank God it doesn't, actually, because we wouldn't have the experience of the deep learning that we actually get from going through the challenges, going through the problems, and really learning from them in a deep way. And so what happens is over time, as we start to prove to ourselves that our inner work is happening, and we start to allow these emotional storms to come without demonizing them, we start to allow ourselves to feel anger or to feel sorrow or to feel sadness and to be able to hold space for it tenderly, and let it come and let ourselves feel it and process it and let it go without demonizing it or marking it as bad, then we start to see that happiness and joy can be inclusive of more emotions than we were thinking that it could. And we start to raise our happiness quotient overall. And so what I invite you to do, Mia and every single person listening, is to dive deeper into that internal work. Keep going. And you just think of it. I have all these metaphors today, but you think of it like an onion. This is something one of my teachers taught me when I was like 19. Think of it like an onion. Our healing is like an onion. We peel a layer off and we go deeper. And we peel a layer off and we go deeper. It's not that we peel the layer off and all the problems are solved. We peel it off and we go deeper and deeper until we get to the root of it all, right at the center of the onion. And this is where our true power lies. So I hope this just gives you some framing and some context. And, you know, lastly, I'll just say that I remember a good friend of mine once said to me, Justin, just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you have a bad life. Because every time I was having a bad day, if I had a day that felt like Mia's, which I have regularly, okay, which I have these moments, luckily they don't last as long anymore. But when I have them, I'll start to think, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? I'm not doing anything productive. What have I been doing? I've wasted all this time. I should have started sooner. Why am I? I start going on that road. And I just remember one of my friends saying, Justin, just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you have a bad life. Chill out. Everything's going to be okay. Anchor back into your roots. So that is what I offer you for this first question. Now, I also have to thank Mia because she wrote in to us and she was like, instead of questions with Justin, you need to call this Fix It, Justin. So we are thinking of actually starting to call this segment Fix It, Justin, instead of questions with Justin. And because we got such high quality questions this month, we're actually going to do two questions on this podcast. And the second question is totally different, but just as real. I want you to listen in right now.
Hey, Justin, it's such a pleasure. This is Shantae from the Bay Area. First of all, I am such a big fan and I tune in every week just to hear your podcast. I'm so glad that you're doing these episodes of answering questions. So just a little background. I constantly have great business ideas, or at least I think they're great. And I always struggle to find motivation to push me through the next level of actually starting it. And I also struggle with finding support from people that believe in me and want to push me to that next level also. I feel like if I had someone there to push me, I think I could succeed, but I also want to be self-motivated as well. So my question to you is, how do I find motivation? How do I push through? And how do I find support or like-minded people? Thank you.
Woo, Shantae. Okay, so first of all, I just want to honor you because you have brought up a point that I think is so important. So many people think that if we just stay on the grind, or if we just hustle hard enough, or if we just keep going, then we're finally going to eventually get there, whatever there is to you. And the thing is that we cannot and should not do it all alone. All the studies have shown that one of our greatest markers for happiness and life satisfaction actually has a lot to do with our deep relationships and our friendships and who we surround ourselves with. And so I love that you use this word, Shantae, of like-minded people, because this is, it is in fact an essential ingredient to your recipe for fulfillment, life satisfaction, and success. And so a lot of people will often write in and ask me and say, well, I don't have anybody around me, or I don't know anybody who's on this, or I've been trying to get people to listen to this podcast with me, but they're just really not on the same page. And look, I get it. I get it. When you are growing and when you are evolving and when you are changing, sometimes it feels like you can't relate to some of the people who you may have related to for all of your life. And I know that that's hard. And this actually happened to me several years ago. I mean, I remember when I first gave up alcohol, and you can listen to my episode called Sex, Celibacy, and Sobriety. That was a few months ago and hear that story. But when I first gave up alcohol and started really pushing my life to this next level, and then most recently as I really was anchoring into my own evolution as I was trying to write my book and keep myself as clear as possible, there were so many people in my life who I used to consider close friends who I would sit with at dinner and feel drained. And I used to feel like they gave me so much life and there was so much connection, and then I was feeling drained. And if that's happening to you, I'm going to call you to not ignore those signs, because all this work that you're doing, all this inner work you're doing, all the meditation and the mindfulness and the reading and whatever is not for you to ignore these whispers when they're coming to you. You have to pay attention. So when you're starting to feel these things, like you can't connect with the right people, or you can't connect with the people who you were connected with before, you're starting to feel a little uneasy around things, it's not saying that you, first of all, just run away from everything. Obviously, you want to investigate and dig into some of this stuff. But it also might be a sign or a whisper that you need to be moving in a different direction. I love when Oprah says that. It's like when we get that feeling, it's the universe telling us that it's time for us to move in a different direction. And so this is what I'm going to offer to you, because I know it's easier said than done when it's forming new connections and relationships. Like, I guess maybe at one point when we were kids, it was easy, but without that, how do you do that? So I want to give some real tangible advice here on how you can meet like-minded people, and then I'll talk about how you can stay motivated right at the end. So there are two things that I really want to talk about, and the first one is going out and how you actually go out and make like-minded friends and meet like-minded community, because I think a lot of people are confused on how to do that, or just have no idea what to do. And the first thing that I'm going to say is that it takes a little bit of courage. It takes a little bit of stepping out of your comfort zone. And we should expect this, because anything that requires us to grow requires us to stretch out of our comfort zone. And it goes right back to that tree metaphor. When we're growing, right, sometimes it feels like work. And sometimes that work is so deep and it feels painful. And sometimes it's just a little discomfort that we have to experience to go through that growth. And the level that we're willing to step out of that comfort zone is the level that we're willing to experience the results and the abundance and the success that are on the other side of what the fears that we have in the first place. And, you know, it's just so fascinating, because we're so afraid of certain things. But what I always find is that on the other side of that fear, is our greatest freedom. On the other side of that fear is our greatest freedom. And so sometimes this fear of just going to an event or going to meet people or talking to new people is scary. But what we really want is new people in our lives and like-minded people and new friends. So how are we going to make friends if we don't go talk to people? We just expect them to show up, or we're swiping through our phone, or expect Instagram to make that happen. We already know that doesn't work. So what do you actually do? Let me give you some advice here. And I'm only telling you things right now that I do and have actually done. I'm not giving you some advice that you're like, okay, sure, Justin, I'm going to do that. Mm-mm. The first thing is do not go to networking events. Okay. I know you might be thinking, what? That's the first, I thought you probably thought I was going to tell you to go to networking events. No. Now, okay, I get it. Some networking events are good or whatever, but networking events are so exhausting. Everyone is on overdrive, trying to meet as many people as they can, trying to connect with as many people as they can. And most people, when they go to networking events, they have one thing in mind. How can I meet someone that's going to help me get ahead in life? And the reason why I feel like so many people go to networking events and don't actually get any long-term benefit out of it is because everyone's going in looking at me, me, me. What am I going to get for me? What am I going to get for me? And if everyone's doing that and no one's there to give and no one's there to serve, then you're not going to get anything out of it. So I have always found connecting with like-minded people to be much easier when I step out of the classic networking style events and go to social gatherings that are curated and created around specific interests that I have. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. So networking events are, you know, things where they're just like, okay, this kind of people, we're going to all get together and network. And it obviously tends to be very business driven. But you always know that the best relationships, the most fulfilling relationships in your life, even though they might involve work, they're not going to be hinged upon that. They have to be hinged upon something deeper. And so what I like to think about is, what are the things that you are naturally interested in? What do you enjoy? And it doesn't have to be something that's a huge passion or takes up tons of time in your life. But if you like gardening, or you like dancing, or you like singing, or you like a specific kind of music, or you like whatever, go to those things and you will meet people who have similar interests as you. Now, is every single person there going to be of the highest good and going to be in alignment with all your other values? No. But you have better chances meeting people who are like-minded if you go to things with people who have similar interests as you. And I like to make it social. So I'll give you an example for me. You guys know that I love music, right? So there's this thing in LA that I go to as often as I can called The Juice Joint. And it's a jam session that happens every Monday night in Hollywood that's absolutely fantastic. And I've been going to it for a few years now, actually a couple of years. And as I started going to this event, I remember when I first started going, I didn't really know that many people, but I knew this was something that, oh, this is just so fun and I enjoy it and I love it. And then I went out of my way at that event to just talk to people. And that's the hardest part, right? Just going up and talking to people and making conversation. You're like, well, what is it? I don't really know what to say. I don't really know what to do. No, you just go up and and you don't have to talk about what do you do and what is this. Talk about what you're experiencing in the moment there. Ask questions is a great thing to do. And you'll be surprised. Most people, especially when they're at a social gathering like this or something that's around a shared interest, people like talking. People especially love talking about themselves. So ask questions. Don't go up to people and start blah, blah, blah about who you are and what you do. Just start by asking the other person questions. And little by little, you may not make a best friend that first day, but I guarantee you'll have some movement and some momentum in the right direction. Now, this leads to my second point, and it's a really important one and one that I have got very comfortable doing. And I've noticed that all my friends who have tight social networks, they all do this as well. Go places alone. Hear me. Go places alone. And I'm not making that a light comment because this is really important. When you go, let's say you do the first step and you say, okay, I'm going to go to this social gathering, but you call one of your friends and you say, I want you to come with me. Well, then what you end up doing at the event is just standing with your friend who you went with instead of talking to the people you need to talk to. And if you go by yourself, it forces you to either just sit there and not speak the whole time, which you will notice, or it will force you to just start having conversation with people. And I want you to really think about when you've done this in the past. It's never turns out bad. at the worst case scenario, somebody's like, meh, I don't feel like talking to you. And that's fine, right? It's like awkward for 0.5 seconds, but I bet you that person's never going to think about you again. But the benefit or the potential payoff is huge. And I have made so many friends this way. And you have to give it time, right? And so when I go places and I end up having a great conversation with somebody, what I'll do is I'll like ask them for their information, and I'll usually ask for their phone number or give them mine, not just their Instagram account, because I know that's what everybody likes to do these days, and ask for their phone number, and I'll text them and just say, oh, it was so good to meet you tonight. Would love to get together soon. And here's the key. How would you like next Thursday? So pick a date and a time. And that actually, people love that because they're, how many times have you heard, oh, I love to see you soon. Oh, let's hang out again. Oh my God, this was so fun. Let me hang out with you some other time. Every time you hear that shit, you already know the person you ain't going to see them for another 6 to 8 months. But if you reach out to somebody and say, how about next Thursday? They're going to say either, yeah. And they're going to feel like, wow, they're making an effort, or wow, they're really interested in hanging out, and they may be available. Or if not, they may invite you to something else, you know, and invite you to be around more people. And this relationship building takes time. So I invite you, again, as a recap, to first of all, go to social things instead of networking events that are around things you are interested in. Okay. It could be crystals or astrology or anything, gardening, dance, whatever you like. Go to things. And if you're saying, well, I don't know what things happen where I live, bullshit. Google it. You're online, on Instagram, on everything else. Look it up. There are things happening. And as soon as you get one foot in the door, what you have to do is then ask them what other things are happening like this. And you're going to find out about things happening nearby you that you didn't even know existed. So that's step one. And step two is to go by yourself. And step three is to talk to people. Now, let me bring in another concept here. And I remember reading something once that said there are people who are members of communities, and there are people who gather communities, and there are people who do both. And so I want to talk about the second one, because I tend to fall, well, I fall into both categories, but I really tend to fall in the second category. And it's not for everyone. But if you're somebody who feels like you align with this gathering communities piece, I'm going to invite you into something that can be very fulfilling for you. So when I stopped drinking, I had a really hard time with my social life. And it wasn't because I was an alcoholic, and wasn't because I was even drinking that much, but it was because I realized that every single thing that I was going out to do socially involved alcohol. And if I wasn't tipsy, then I actually wasn't really enjoying any of those social things that I thought I was enjoying before. So I went through this phase where I was like, I don't even know what I like to do anymore. And why does everything revolve around alcohol? And then I heard that quote and I said, oh my gosh, well, you know what I'm going to do? Let me gather people. Let me invite people over to my apartment and invite them into a space where it's centered around something that I value and I believe in. And some people are going to say they don't want to come, and that happened. And some people are going to be very interested in coming. And that's how you know these are people who are your tribe, people who share like-minded interests with you. And so what I started doing, and there's going to be people listening to this right now who've been to these at my home, because I've been doing them for a few years, is I started just having these nights at my house around the full moon. And I was saying, okay, on the full moon, because you guys know I'm into all the woo-woo stuff, right? I was saying, on the full moon, we're going to come over and we're going to set intentions and we're going to do prayers and really set ourselves up for the next month. And I also started doing other gatherings about meditation and little gatherings teaching people about crystals and just not charging anybody anything, inviting 5 to 10 people and just sending out text messages and saying, hey, I'm going to have this thing where we're going to write our visions for the full moon. If you want to come, come over at 7. And there'd be 3 or 4 people who would come. And now here was a trick to meeting more people. I said, okay, great. Feel free to invite somebody who you think would be in alignment with this. You know, only good vibes allowed, you know. And you let other people in your life invite people in who have that shared interest as well. And then your circle expands. And this is crazy. I'm thinking of 2 people who've been like 2 of the best friends that I've had this year actually came into my life through a friend who brought them to my house for one of these events. So I didn't even know them 2 years ago, and they've been so close because they come from this shared like-minded space. So if there's something that you love, and it doesn't have to be crystals, it doesn't have to be spiritual, it could be whatever you want, okay? You could have a pleasure party. You can do whatever it is that you want. Just what is it that you want to gather people around? Invite some people over. You set the gathering, and then invite them to invite a person as well. So I'm just going to keep using this word over and over. That is your invitation. And those are some ways that you might experience greater joy around finding like-minded people who support you. And the last thing that I'll say about this, and this is really important, is obviously just because these people have shared interests as you, just because they like crystals or pleasure parties or whatever it is that you want to do, you know, doesn't mean that they're going to support you in your growth, right? And I want you to not look at all of your relationships as having to be so transactional, right? You definitely want to have some people around you in your life who you guys mutually benefit each other and support each other and grow directly on a business level. You want that, of course. But you can't look at all of your friendships as being this transactional relationship where they're helping you in your business and helping you grow. Mm-mm. What really matters most is that you have people that you feel deeply connected to. And that goes back to those roots that we were talking about. And having that alone helps you have the life satisfaction and the happiness and the support that you need to grow in your business. So don't look at everything as a transaction. And really just make sure you anchor in from your heart. And don't invite people into your life who are out of alignment just because you think they have similar interests as you. Now, last but not least, as we complete this podcast for today, I want to tackle Shantae's question about staying motivated. Now, this is a really important concept because, and I always find it really interesting when people ask me, how do I stay motivated? And, you know, I'll say, and you'll probably expect me to say this, I don't expect anyone or myself to always 24 hours a day be ready to work, be in a good mood, be like ready to get it, hustle, go. No, that is exhausting, okay? So sometimes you're just not going to feel that motivated. And let that be okay, okay? Let that be okay. But if you're feeling like you are unmotivated and you would like to be more motivated, then I invite you to do this exercise. What's really important when it comes to keeping your motivation up is to focus on the vision for why you are doing what you're doing. So what is the vision for what you want to create and why you're doing it in the first place? And anytime I'm feeling exhausted and anytime I'm feeling like, oh, I'm not in the mood. I just want to sit down and eat some popcorn and chill, you know, like, I have to go back, and I know that I need to be working. I go back to that vision and I ask myself a simple question. If I already was the person in my vision, if I already was the person who I was trying to become, what would I be doing right now? What would I be doing? How would I be acting? And I let that inform my actions. And listen, sometimes it's like, yes, Justin, get up, go. And I step into it. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. I know I got some more work to do, but I'm tired. I just need to go to sleep. And I take that self-care and make it important. And I recognize, just like we welcome positive and negative emotions, we also have to welcome the moments in which we're feeling unmotivated. You're not always going to feel motivated and inspired and happy and on and ready. That would just be totally unrealistic, okay? So just be easy with yourself. And if you find yourself in a position where you find yourself unmotivated more frequently than you are motivated, then you need to get into the vision writing. And this is a perfect time to talk about this because in next week's podcast, I'm going to be announcing a very special online webinar that we're going to be doing at the end of the year, and it's totally free, to write our vision, our mission, and our goals for 2020. And this is crucial. Every single person who is successful in life, I don't know one person who doesn't have a vision. And this is not about just the woo-woo, manifest, whatever, although I think some of that stuff is actually very important. I'm going to be guiding people through the scientifically proven process to manifesting and creating your mission, vision, and goals for the new year, and not just creating them, but seeing them come to life. And so stay tuned for next week's episode, because we're going to be diving super deep into that. So this is our first episode of Questions with Justin, also maybe known as Fix It Justin. And if you have a question that you want to send in, now you see how this works. You can just send your question in via email to questions@justinmichaelwilliams.com. Again, that's questions@justinmichaelwilliams.com. And you could either send it over audio, or you can type it in and send it in. And then we'll be taking in some of the questions and answering as many of them as we can live on this podcast. And I hope you enjoyed this very first segment. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. We are nearing the end of 2019 and going into, 2020, which I have a feeling is going to be an incredible year, just a great year for us all. I love you. I thank you. I honor you. And this has been Justin Michael Williams. I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.